in quickly. First of all, hope you had a great weekend. It is Monday at the time of recording this outside here in the desert. And as many of you know, I'm already balls deep, if you will, in my summer shred prep. I wanted to come in and share six quick shred tips for the summer. A lot of people are trying to get lean, look their best. You know, I get that. You're also tend to be more active in the summer, spend more time outside. And yeah, you want to look your best. And these are tips for anyone, but I think particularly for the aging athlete who, you know, maybe it's a little bit more difficult for you to get leaner than it was when you were young. You know, I know firsthand when I would try to get shredded in my 20s, there are some things that are easier. There are some things that are harder now at 41.5. What was more challenging then when I was younger is I didn't have enough discipline for a variety of things, like or mental stamina to handle, you know, the brain fog that comes with the caloric deficit, the discipline with the diet to stay the course and not get caught in the binging that can come with, you know, cheat meals and stuff like that. Also the discipline to not overdo it. That is one of the biggest things I see people do when it comes to trying to, you know, lose weight or burn fat is they think that more and more and more exercise is better. And actually it's not. What ends up happening is it ends up making you too hungry, makes your cortisol or stress hormones go up, which actually makes you crave junk, carbs, and fake fats. It just throws off your whole system. So I'm gonna talk today my six tips. Number one, and again, these are my, this is what works for me, okay? So take what you want, leave the rest. Number one, I love a liquid diet. And I don't mean like going on one of those 800 calorie protein shake diets, but I tend to like to focus on a midday protein shake, which I'll talk about, and then soups in the evening. Now, one thing that happens as you get older is you don't digest as well as you used to. I've noticed that, and a big part of also, you know, as you're trying to get lean for summer too, you got to get your hydration up. The more water in your system, the better. It helps flush out toxins. It helps maintain fullness. A lot of times we get tricked by thirst for hunger and we end up eating with our eyes, and it really does help with that process. One thing that happens to a lot of people when they lose weight, they tend to break out, a lot of acne and stuff like that. Because what happens when you mobilize a lot of fat, your fat holds toxins, it holds poisons, and it holds them for as long as the fat cell was formed. So a lot of times when you're losing belly fat or just fat in general, your body is dumping toxins into your bloodstream. And a lot of that can cause blockages in the skin and stuff like that. So water just flushes. But it helps keep you full and it helps make it so that less calories are giving you the nutrition that you need and the satiety you need to stay the course. And soups and chilies. I rotate between, I've shared here, chicken soup and grass-fed beef chili. I cook them in bone broths for the collagen and for the joint health. And you can load them up with a lot of, vegetables. Again, that's really the key, is you got to get a lot of produce and fiber. The key to any fat loss diet, you need high protein and you need high fiber. Those are the two things. Now, you can go more fat, more carbs based on preference, but ultimately, those are the non-negotiables. You got to keep your protein intake high so you can maintain muscle mass, keep your metabolism revved up, recover from your exercise, and you need fiber to keep you full and help slow that nutrition, the absorption of it, the energy of it. Otherwise, you'll be like, especially as you're in real fat burning mode, after like an hour, a meal you ate feels like it's gone. And you can get hungry really fast, just throws things off. So I like that setup. I also believe in doing the same thing every day. That goes counter to all of these influencers, right? They're all about new recipes, new meals every day. I hate that. That's not how, I'm an athlete, came from an athletic background. I make a living with my body. So again, take what you want, but championships are not built by doing different things every day. You pick habits, you pick a routine and you stick with it. Part of the benefit of eating the same thing every day, as long as it's balanced, is that you really know how it's doing for you. And then you change it one time and you can feel what's going on. Like we had family visit last week. I stick with my routine most of the way. But I had a couple, meals where we went out and I could feel the change in effect of eating someone else's food, eating something that was different than I was eating on a regular basis. I mean, you feel it. So you get some instant biofeedback that way. And then if I didn't like the result that I had for that week, now I know why it was. Because I was doing everything else the same, but these couple things happened. I just think it simplifies the process. We know how expensive food is right now. It is ridiculous. I mean, you can go in with a plan right now, but you're going to leave spending more money than you thought you should have at any grocery store right now. So for me, I can get in $100 or less for myself, all the ingredients I need to make a midday shake and a super chili. And then one thing I'll say too is, like this week, because I like to stick to a budget, I didn't have enough budget in to make a super chili this week. So I'm just going with organic omega-3 eggs at night, just simple egg vegetable dish with some bone broth on the side. But again, it's light. I don't like to eat too heavy on a shred plan. And especially as it gets warmer in the summer, you know, this just happens here in the desert. We're already approaching 100 degrees here. My appetite does go down. I just crave more fluid. My shake is simple. I've outlined it here before. Check out the past. But again, I go a scoop of protein powder, either, you know, plant-based. I like Vega, or I'll go with a whey casein blend, fast, slow. Get at least 30 grams complete protein in that. I'll go with 1 cup of the Fairlife chocolate milk, which I love because it has half the sugar and then more protein per cup. I'll go 3 tablespoons chia seed, which has the essential fats, the omega-3s in particular, great for anti-inflammation. You need them in your diet. And then it has like 15 grams of fiber. Again, I talked about the importance of fiber. Fiber is the key it's protein and fiber, the 1-2 punch, I think, of any good fat loss diet. And a cup of organic frozen berry cherry, ice and water to taste, cinnamon powder for blood sugar and also flavor. And that's it. And I have that same one every midday, every day around noon. I will start the day too with just a quick water protein shake before my coffee, just because again, I like to get my protein intake. You know, it's very important to get that protein intake where it needs to be when you're in a caloric deficit, and so you don't lose too much muscle mass. You're going to lose a little muscle anytime you try to lose a significant amount of weight, just because even from the standpoint of just day-to-day activities, if you go from like being 220 to 200 pounds, everything you do during the day, there's less load on your body. So, but again, you can mitigate the excessive losses and it ends up looking good overall. So you don't end up like skinny fat, like a lot of people do, and they just do straight cardio, straight starvation diet. And then again, like I said, at night, I keep the carbohydrate, I limit myself carbohydrate wise to just fruits and vegetables when I'm really focusing on burning fat. They're micronutrient loaded, I mean, nutrient dense, lower calorie per serving. I want to create a deficit, an energy deficit, where my body is going to use more stored fat for fuel. So part of how I do that is I don't eliminate carbohydrates. I don't go keto. I don't call it any of that bullshit that people do out here to try to get likes and shares. But I do like to keep, if you look at your carbohydrate tank or glycogen, sugar stored in muscles like a tank, you don't want that tank full. What I try to do during the week is I bring that tank down to about a quarter tank. By Thursday, it's on a quarter tank, which means there's 3/4 deficit energy-wise. It's going to go to fat, the fat in my diet, the fat in my body. And that's worked for me for the last couple decades with great success. But I do refill it. You know, I do have like about a 24 to 40 hour period where I'm not doing traditional cheats. Like I'm not going to Cheesecake Factory and getting carrot cake and Louisiana pasta and nachos like I did when I was younger. I would even do that. And maybe still get away with it, but I just can't do that anymore at 41. So the cheats for me now are really clean. Like I'll have bonza chickpea pasta and with some mozzarella cheese and, you know, like maybe a cup of Häagen-Dazs vanilla ice cream. So I don't have like extravagant ice creams. It's like straight vanilla, 6-ingredient ice cream. And it's in a small bowl, right? Those are the type of cheats I go to, but I will refill my tank for about a 24 to 48 hour period based on, you know, as I get leaner and leaner and tighter and tighter, that's more like 12 to 24 hours or less. But I will do that. But that is just a simple diet. I start with diet because I don't think diet is the most important thing for your long-term fitness journey. And I'll explain why, but short-term diet is the most impactful. Like when we're talking about, you know, 4, 8, 12 weeks, get in great shape, diet is going to lead that, because exercise is really, it takes a long time to see the benefits of exercise, but 4 to 6+ months. Where diet, you can see instant results. Not that you don't see, like, beginners with exercise will see changes easy in the first 4 to 6 weeks, but but the reason I say exercise is more important long term, because exercise, if you exercise regularly, it regulates your diet. It helps keep your energy levels high. You start to eat to support your training. You're like, why would I eat this shit? You know what I'm saying? Like, it just changes your overall behavior and habits. Like, I don't want to be sore, so I'm going to make sure I get enough protein. I don't want to feel sloppy for my workout tomorrow, so I'm not going to have Taco Bell before bed. You know, these are the things that start to happen when exercise is just part of your DNA, your overall approach. And then also with diet too, like, diet just gets locked in. Anybody I know that, like, has done this a long time and does it at a peak level, they've been doing the same thing for a very, very long time. And they might change things up occasionally, but diet gets locked in pretty quick. So again, I'm a big fan of shakes and soups, and keeping it light and keeping it easy on the digestive system and just focusing on protein, fiber, and lots of water. Number two, EHO mobility. Every hour on the hour. This is something that, it's a term I coined, and I've been heavy on it really since the pandemic. What it means is every hour on the hour, hourly, you do at least a minute of movement. And definitely has a mobility focus, but I do a lot of strength work too. In fact, most of the strength work I do now, I drip throughout the day. Submaximal, high frequency. I do that because it allows me to really get a lot of practice. It allows me to avoid fatigue and soreness, so I can do it more frequently, which feeds, like, more frequent practice, better skill acquisition, more movement mastery. And that's been my approach. That could be hangs, that could be deep squats, that could be a set of push-ups or pull-ups. You know, that could be anything. It could be jumping jacks. And the benefit of this too is you can't not have energy lulls on a fat loss plan. You get energy lulls when you're in a caloric surplus, right? So it's definitely gonna happen when you are burning fat and you're in a caloric deficit. And by the way, I don't count calories or macros, but I have portions locked in. Like, I have X amount of shake, X amount of soup. That portions equal calories. So, I mean, so I know what the portions are. I don't have to worry about counting the calories. All I have to do is adjust the portions up or down based on the goal. So I know someone's gonna probably ask that or wonder about that. But the hourly movement, it really helps with, it's great for managing blood sugar. It's great for keeping your energy up. It also gives you little fat burning bursts throughout the day that can really help over the course of a day, you know, accelerate calorie burn and fat loss over the course of several months. Like, that really does add up. I'm a huge fan of that. It's part of my lifestyle. Even if I can't get in as much training as I want to, at the end of the day, when I tend to train at the end of my workday, that's my reward for finishing, you know, a long ass day of work, I will have already done 10 to 20 minutes of movement, not including my midday walk, etc. That is pushing the needle forward. So, and if someone's asking for how long, shout out to David Yang, Daniel Gomez. I do at least an hour, a minute. Again, sometimes I'll go 5 or 10 minutes if I have the time. You know, you look at a typical schedule, and I remember being a student, like, there's an hour block for class, right? But, like, it's a 45, 50 minute class. You got 5 to 10 minutes to get to the next class, you know, get ready, decompress. But I just say it, a minute. If you have more time, great. But a minute or two is all you need to really just, again, you're sitting too. You want to get blood circulation is so important when it comes to burning fat. You got to circulate blood and combine with a lot of water and just as much non-exercise movement as possible, that'll help a ton. But at least a minute or two, up to 5 to 10 if you have the time. Like, sometimes if I miss an hour or two, I'll do like a 5 or 10 minute block on 1 hour. But again, you can make that work. But it makes such a difference. And again, the things I do the most often, hanging from a bar, which I have multiple bars here, but, you know, a basic pull-up bar. I actually have one by my bathroom. Every time I pass it, I hang in the bar. I do a lot of self-assisted deep squats, holding onto a pole or a TRX or whatever. But, you know, dip practice, you know, those are just things that I drill a lot. Planks are great. Any body weight cardio exercise you want to add to the mix, like a jumping jack, a skater jump, a run in place. But I keep it more strength mobility focused. Number three, So we talked about liquid diet shakes and soups, number one. Number two is EHO mobility. Every hour on the hour, do at least a hour, that would be a lot of movement, at least a minute of movement. Number three is strength maintenance. This is one where I made a big mistake when I was younger, and I still see a lot of people prescribe like, oh no, we can't lose our muscle mass. We have to do more strength training than ever. If I do too much cardio, I'm gonna lose all my muscle. No, that's really not how this works. You have to understand, strength training requires the most recovery. It creates muscle damage. It also can really fry the nervous system, which makes it difficult to do a lot of calorie burning activity the next day. And especially as you accumulate that fatigue in a training block. It's very easy to maintain strength. They've done research on this. A single strength session a week can maintain your strength. And I've done this too, where like in the past I've done like three hard full body workouts a week, in addition to three hard Metcon HIT cardio workouts on the off days. And I could handle that when I was younger. I can't do that anymore, nor do I want to do that anymore, because it takes too much away from my work. And it doesn't need to be that difficult. As long as you have a good diet in place that you know works for you. If anything, I believe it probably should be more 2-to-1 cardio to strength ratio in a fat burning phasing. And this goes against most experts out there, but I'm just telling you what works for me from the standpoint of, also don't forget too, resistance training makes you very hungry. Cardio and aerobic exercise actually blunts appetite. So that has to be considered as well. If you're doing too much resistance training, you won't be able to recover from it. You can actually create a catabolic effect in the muscle because you are in a deficit and your body is not as interested. It's not going to be as interested as you are in maintaining your muscle mass. So, you know, it's going to cut some of that. If you do too much strength training beyond, it's going to take your appetite out of control. And if I'm just being honest, like I'm not even doing much strength work now besides the EHO mobility work that I do. And part of the benefit too of reducing body weight is, especially when you do a lot of body weight exercise, it's like your pull-ups, your push-ups, your dips, your stamina, everything goes up. When you have a loaded focus, if you're focused entirely on barbells and weights, this is just the reality of it. Your strength is going to go down. It's not even just the fact that you don't have as much energy. You might get a little bit weaker from that standpoint. But you look at things like a bench press or a squat or a deadlift. If you're really big or you're bigger, you've got more body leverage in terms of, you know, the bar not having to go down, or you can bounce it off your chest. These are things that I used to play football. I did a lot of powerlifting back in the day at about 275. And bench press always goes down as you lose weight. It is what it is. And you can't do it all at once unless you're on drugs. And I, everything I've done, I'm a lifetime natural. Everything I talk about is for natural drug-free trainees, and you have to accept the fact that in a fat loss phase, your strength is going to suffer occasionally, and you might lose a little muscle mass. Just like when you build strength and muscle in a big block, you're going to gain some body fat, and your conditioning might suffer a little bit. Again, this is the yin and yang of it all. And if you run these cycles properly year after year, eventually you just get leaner, stronger, more muscular, all that good stuff over time. But definitely go into more of a strength maintenance mode, just at least one session a week. You pick a couple movements that collectively work more of your body. And powerlifting or traditional lifting weights, that's the bench, the squat, the deadlift, maybe the power clean comes in there if you wanna make it a fourth. Those collectively hit your whole body as long as you keep those lifts. So it doesn't have to be one rep max. Let's say a 3-to-5 rep max stays relatively close to where it was at the start of the shred block. You won't have lost any significant or noticeable muscle mass. All right. And I will say too, you're more likely to lose upper body muscle mass because you're not on your hands. So that's why, you know, maybe if anything, you prioritize a little more upper body strength work because you don't want your legs to be shot. I equate it like in season, you don't do as much taxing lower body stuff, like if you're an athlete, because you need your legs out there on the field or the courts, right? And once the legs go, you're fucked. But the upper body is much more likely to atrophy on a caloric restriction. So that's something to consider too. Maybe it's two upper body sessions and one lower body session. But again, just looking at the research, looking at real world practice. And again, I don't like to create soreness because soreness requires extended recovery. I just can't do that with my job. So that's number three, strength maintenance. Number four, by the way, guys, if you have questions, just drop them now in the comments if you're live. I'll answer them at the end of my six quick tips. Low impact cardio focus. This is the time to really get your conditioning going, all right? If you look at this kind of as in season, trying to create a peak look and in your best shape possible for the summer, all that off-season training is designed to build strength, mobility, muscle mass, get that metabolic engine up so now you can run that engine to its fullest to deplete body fat and get nice and shredded. And maintain those residuals, if you will, right? You don't have to, much easier to maintain than gain. But there's three things that I do, like there's the holy trinity of how I approach fat loss at this age. I wish I would have had this focus when I was younger because I wiped myself up way too much. And beyond the fact that, again, it affects you at work, I can't get as much work done, it makes you an absolute ass at home. You get really moody and irritable, and you know, that's not a good look for anyone. I don't want to be that in my house over some over getting lean. It's just ridiculous. But I do a lot of sled, I do a lot of boxing, specifically heavy bag work, and I do a lot of weighted walking, or as they call it, rucking. That's the 1, 2, 3 like things that I think are the most beneficial, sustainable, easy to recover from fat loss cardio methods. High return, low impact. It doesn't wipe you out. I mean, it can, but you short 20 to 30 minute sessions when it comes to sledding or heavy bag. Incredible. What's so great about the sled, and you see me starting to share a lot more sled content because to me, shred season is sled season. I played football, I was a lineman. So it's like very, it's like in my DNA at this point. I love getting low and working that fucking sled. And I have, from all the football injuries I had when I was young, lifting injuries, I've had arthritis in my knee since I was 19. So, 20 plus years now of degeneration, I got to really pick my spots of what exercise I do because it swells pretty frequently now at this point. So sled is concentric only cardio, meaning eccentric. Let's look at the squat, right? Concentrically is coming from the bottom of the squat to a stand. Eccentrically is going from stand to squat. And yes, eccentric exercise is incredibly important for joint health. It's the key to driving strength and muscle gain, but it causes a lot of muscle damage. Like we talked about, shred diet, not as much energy, limited recovery. We can't do too much eccentric work. It's gonna wipe you out. But with the sled, the moment you stop pushing it, it stops. It's not wearing down your joints, and it's only gonna move if you push it or pull it. By the way, check it out. I've been sharing people just think sled push and pull. No, there's endless exercise you can do on a sled. It's not new. This has been around for a very long time. And I'll show you a lot of cool stuff I used to do when I used to train for football too. But it's full body, lower body intensive conditioning. And again, when it comes to burning fat, like I said, you don't want to do too much like muscle damage generating lower body exercise. Your legs will be wiped and it's hard to do your walking and stuff like that, all the other things. But with the sled, you can still simulate muscle gain in your lower body, easy to recover from. And again, the legs, the biggest muscles in your body, the biggest oxygen demand, the biggest calorie burn. And it's actually full body, especially if you're gripping it, pushing, pulling. The heavy bag, I have here like a bunch of progressive at home boxing workouts you guys have to check out. Not enough of you guys have taken a look at it because maybe you're insecure about it or you don't want to be awkward. It does suck in the beginning when you suck. Like, I mean, it just is what it is. You want to get good at something, you have to suck in the beginning. Just like I did 5 years ago when I first started. But if you're a fan of a boxing or Mike Tyson getting ready for, the big Jake Paul events, that's going to be amazing. Free on Netflix. It's going to be maybe the biggest fight ever in terms of purse and views. But it's full body, all planes of motion. It really shreds up your upper body and your abs. It absolutely does. And for someone like me with knee arthritis, I can push it to the limit. But unlike running or those types of things, my knee's not going to swell up and it's not going to cause me pain. So it's just an amazing way to condition, train your fast twitch fibers. And especially when using the heavy bag, it's basically like resistance training boxing. So when I do at least one or two heavy bag sessions a week, that's when my arms, my chest, my shoulders, my back, my abs look their best. They're on point in a way that when I haven't done that, it was just traditional resistance training or just cardio. It wasn't the same. Like fighting does bring out the best trunk in terms of the look and feel, V taper, all that good stuff, all that rotation, side bending when you're punching right. I also have my 1 hour heavy bag workout here. Be sure to check it out. So good for, you know, overall conditioning. Again, easy to recover from. The heavy bag is harder to recover from than shadow boxing, but heavy bag is a lot more fun than shadow boxing. You can actually, shadow boxing is kind of like a faux slam, like not like slamming a medicine ball, but not letting go. That's what it's like to shadow box. But the, you know, shadow boxing is foundational. I still use it. I do a lot of stuff in the pool. I box a lot in the pool on days I can't get up for the heavy bag or I'm too sore. But I know it's hard to mention pool because a lot of people don't have access to it. But I do a lot of pool stuff. But I you know, it's at least a 2-to-1. Like my training sessions, when I train, like it isn't just like some mobility work or peppered strength work throughout the day. It's mostly cardio focused at this point in a shred phase, sled, heavy bag. And then every day around the middle of the day, I go for about an hour weighted vest walk. Typically 20 pounds. Sometimes I'll throw around with a 40 or 60 pounder. And one thing I'll say too, weight vest is something to consider, especially if you do bodyweight exercise, because, you know, if you might lose a little muscle mass in your calves, right? You see people that are overweight tend to have like huge calves because all day long they're walking. People at least walk, we hope. If you're not morbidly obese or you're stuck at home and you got to use a tractor to pull you out. But it's something to consider whereby adding a weight vest to some of your bodyweight exercise or your walks to help mitigate muscle loss from a caloric deficit or an extended fat loss phase. Number five, so I got a couple more here. Afternoon naps, critical. My father is from Tunisia, that's North Africa, and Ramadan, the month of fasting, has just passed for Muslims at the time of recording this. I'm not practicing, but I have done Ramadan several times. Did it during a couple college football seasons. And one thing that's very common when you're fasting, afternoon naps really help you get to the end of the day. So, you know, and people typically do have those afternoon lulls as it is. I used to get through it with coffee, but that would affect my sleep. And sleep is the most important factor when it comes to recovering from exercise, anti-aging, managing stress overall. You do release the most amount of fat-burning hormones at night during deep sleep. Caffeine can really get in the way with that. I don't have any caffeine after 9 or 10 a.m., so there's at least a 12-hour process where I can eliminate most of that from my system so I can get to sleep at 9. But it's not just because I'm older now and I kind of need that afternoon nap. It really does help with hunger management. Usually you're going to get hit hard with hunger between 12 and noon and 2 p.m. So instead of using caffeine to get through, which is just, it's going to stimulate you, not let you get to bed on time. You'll become kind of dependent on that afternoon caffeine. You get some rest, you burn a little fat while you sleep in that little nap. A lot of you can't do that. You don't work remotely or your work is not progressive enough in the sense that, you know, why don't we just let these people get a quick nap, just like babies did, so they can recharge and do the rest of their work. They're just going to be on Facebook anyway, or Instagram or TikTok, the second half of a workday. You and I both know it. But that's been critical. And I'm always in bed by 9, like sometimes 8, because I need more rest and sleep when you are in a caloric deficit, when you are not able to recover as much as you can. You don't have as much fuel. You got to prioritize that. Number 6, it's really critical just every day to sweat. You might have some days where you don't do really intense exercise, but you got to break a sweat. And I talked about this at the beginning. When you mobilize fat, fat holds toxins. All the shit from our environment, from our fucked up food supply, from occasionally choosing some bad meals or food choices, it gets stored in our fat. And when we mobilize and metabolize that fat, that gets released into the bloodstream. So sweating and drinking a lot of water and just creating a lot of circulation in the body, that kind of combination is really key to getting rid of that stuff. And one thing that is actually quite common too, you might notice, I've had a lot of, over the years when I used to do personal training, clients would come to me and say, I'm tasting Cheetos. Or they'll occasionally have just like these massive dumps as their body is you know, because in an accelerated fat loss phase, you're going to have some it's not even diarrhea. It's just your body eliminating all the shit that was stored you know, and these fat depots over the years. I'm tasting Cheetos. I haven't had Cheetos in 20 years. And whether it's Cheeto ingredients stored in their fat or not, or psychosomatic, I don't fucking know, but this was a common thing people would say. So, again, I pick my spots. I look at it like, if you're a basketball fan, there was Michael Jordan in the first three-peat before he did that retirement, played baseball, changed his body, lost his speed, kind of became a stronger but less mobile guy. And there was the second three-peat where it was just a lot of fadeaways and layups and free throws, right? Occasional dunks, but it wasn't like the highlight reels that we'd replay. It's an older body. It can't recover as fast. Got to pick its spots. So for me, and I've shared this too, I've got this $300 sauna at home that that you can get. Very affordable. Or almost all gyms now have a sauna. You get a gym membership. But 20 minutes daily in a sauna, I think, is critical. A lot of times too, when I don't want to train, I just hit a sauna. I sweat. I get warm. And then I want to do something. You know, it's just something about sweating and getting warm. And the thing is, a lot of times in a fat loss phase, you're going to hit with these energy lulls. And it's really tough to even like get on your typical, a lot of people just, they get on a cardio machine to kind of warm up, or they just go for a quick walk. Sometimes that's even tough, but heat really helps. One thing that people overlook too, when you get really lean, and I've competed in bodybuilding shows when I was young. I actually won the Mr. Wisconsin heavyweight when I was 26 at the Wisconsin State Fair, which is like saying, it's not a big accomplishment, but it did happen. But your joints start to hurt a little bit when you get lean, because you're really reducing fat is not just, you know, subcutaneous on your body. It's around your organs. It's in your brain. It's there's fat in your joints that helps, you know, provide some shock absorption and stuff like that. And that's why it's so critical to get enough water. I get my collagen, which helps with joint health, and the bone broths and the soups that I made, I mentioned earlier. But yeah, you're going to be more prone to stiffness in the joints. So heat, you always want to start your workouts with heat, but especially when you don't feel like moving, and by the way, like in the desert here, I don't just use it for that, for the benefit of detoxification, your skin. It does increase calorie burn. It helps mobilize stored carbohydrate, sugar in your muscles, which, you know, the more you mobilize of that, the more fat you burn at rest and during exercise. But it's helped me get ready for what's coming in the summer, which is, you know, at night, it doesn't even go below 100 at night here, which I love. Like, it's been great for me, because 20 minutes out here in 100 plus degree heat can have a calorie burn of a 40 to 60 minute session, you know, at normal temperatures. Now, there's a reduction in performance. You have to account for all that stuff, but the sauna helps me get ready for it. All you need is about 10 to 20 minutes. I'll sometimes push an hour, or I'll contrast with jumping into my unheated pool or taking breaks. But whether it's a sauna or a steam room, just get some heat on your body. And oftentimes what ends up happening is you end up wanting to do some movement, even if it's light. But you do want to make sure every day you're sweating and detoxifying and getting all that shit that's stored in your body fat out of your system. Because it can manifest itself as, you know, acne. It can be restored if it's not mobilized or oxidized. So just something to consider there too. My six tips. Let me see if we had any questions. If you're just jumping in live now, you're going to want to rewatch the whole thing, because there were some straight, honestly, like these are six things that have guided me. I will be by the time summer hits, the leanest I've ever been at 41.5. That's not easy. That's no feat. I don't take drugs. It's caffeine and some weed. That's about it. But it really works. And it's simple. It's not sexy. There's no biohacking here. But this is what I do. So let me see if I had any questions to miss. Add ECA stack to that and you're golden. ECA. You mean EAA? Essential amino acids? I'm not sure what ECA is. How long can I be underwater? I haven't tested it. It's a dangerous thing to do without supervision, and I mostly train out here alone. But I'm probably capable I've held my breath, you know, in meditation or breath practice for, I think, more than 2 minutes. But I would never test it alone out there in the water. It's a dangerous thing to do. I don't see any questions. All right, guys. Well, that's about it. Just wanted to jump in and share those tips to start the week. I meant to get it to you about a week or so ago, but I had some family visiting. Don't overexercise. Make sure the exercise you're doing, not too much high intensity stuff. And obviously don't starve yourself. You got to make sure you get enough protein and fiber and a lot of water. You can build in some flexibility, but I will say there are just times of year when it's good to test yourself. And yeah, you could work in some flexibility, but are those trigger foods for you? Are they just going to throw off, you know, 6 days of hard work? And you can always reincorporate them in a maintenance or, you know, at the end of the goal. It's much easier to maintain than it is to burn fat and or build muscle. So test yourself, man. You know, I'm not going to any restaurants. They're not only not as good as they used to be. There's shrinkflation. The prices are up and the servings are down. The portion sizes are down. And honestly, we know this from the research they've done. You're consuming every restaurant meal 25 to 30% more calories than you would something you cooked at home. Ingredients you know and trust. Find a routine you can just depend on. Variety is for the butterflies, the people that just float from one thing to another that never really see results, especially in the short term. You know, variety really is, it's a lifelong thing. It's a lifelong journey, variety. Variety, if you're constantly changing things up, like how are you gonna know what's working, what's not working? How can you get enough consistency going to actually make progress? Well, you can't, that's the fact. But yeah, people that don't have attention or focus or just lack discipline, that can allow you to feel like you're doing something, which is fine. Like as long as you're moving and doing great stuff, that's good. But I'm just telling you right now, you got to find a couple things to lean on from a diet standpoint, from a training standpoint, work that, get a lot of sleep, sweat daily, just try to hourly, just do at least a minute of something mobility, strength wise, not to exhaustion, but just to stimulate. All right, don't see any questions, guys. So have a beautiful rest of your day. Lots of great content has been posted recently. Got a lot of new subscribers recently, so welcome to the page. And again, if you're looking to burn fat here, I've got it all covered for you. I have a $300 product that is free on YouTube with ads. 60 progressive full body 20-minute follow-along workouts. You start at X1 all the way through X60, a mix of body weight workouts. Half the workouts are body weight. The other half are a mix of dumbbell, resistance band, and medicine ball. There's also a boxing program in there. I'm going to be sharing a lot of good sled cons. So all the stuff that I do, use, share, recommend, it's available to you here on YouTube. Check out those playlists and get started with them. And you can get in great shape by the summer for no cost. It's here for you. So we appreciate you guys you know, liking, sharing, supporting the content. It's how we get out to more good people like you. And I think that's it. All right, guys. Peace.